Our reading this evening is from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And from Julian of Norwich, chapter 17. The blessed body was left alone to dry for a long time, being wrenched by the nails and the weight of the body. For I understood that because of the tenderness of the dear hands and feet, and because the nails were so big, hard and rough, the wounds grew wider, and the body sagged under its own weight through hanging there for a long time, along with the piercing and twisting of the head and the binding of the crown of thorns, all baked with dry blood, with the deer hair and the dry flesh clinging to the thorns and the thorns to the dying flesh.
Last week, as we meditated on the cruel crown of thorns, the emblem of Jesus' suffering and humiliation, we saw through Julian's insight how intimately God loves us, because it's in Jesus' pain and suffering we can glimpse hope and comfort, because God's love is more powerful than anything. God is everything that is good, she tells us. As we've seen over the past few weeks, her response to these visions of Jesus' pain and agony is actually quite surprising. She is not overwhelmed with distress, but she is filled with joy, as well as sorrow. It's not what we expect. And maybe not our own experience of suffering, watching those we love suffer. This juxtaposition of joy with the horrific last moments of Jesus' life can jar with modern ears. And we may be tempted to look away from the place of suffering. Well, we can all think of places of suffering tonight around the world. We think of the Ukraine and the people suffering there. And we also think of Afghanistan and the Yemen and Ethiopia, so many places in our broken world suffering violence. Dare we look away? Julian encourages us to look and sit with these extreme moments of suffering. Her supreme spiritual delight, she says, only lasts a while as she watches Christ dying on the cross, and she's plunged back into a depression. She tells us she is weary of life and disgusted. There is no ease or comfort except faith, hope, and love. And yet she can feel them but little. Feelings, I think, that resonate tonight, where maybe we find no ease or comfort in these dark and difficult and distressing times. And yet, we think of our faith, which gives us hope and love. In Julian's reading tonight, we glimpse Jesus close to his death, as she tells us. His body is being wrenched by the nails and the weight of the body on the cross. And our gospel reading this evening makes a very brief reference to the crucifixion. In fact, it tells us he is handed over to be crucified, and he is forced to carry his own cross to the place of execution. But no further details are given by John's account. In fact, there are no mention of any nails in any of the gospel accounts at this point. We find a reference, in fact, a bit later on in John's gospel, in chapter 20, when Thomas says to the other disciples, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into where they went and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Crucifixion was a particularly brutal form of punishment, and the Romans used it widely. It was to quash rebellion and to produce social conformity, and was reserved for the worst kind of criminals: murderers, rapists, rebels, and thieves. Cicero called it the most cruel and hideous of tortures. The victim was tied or nailed to the large wooden beam and left to hang to death. In Julian's vision, it's striking, isn't it, how her focus is on these nails and not the cross itself. Her detailed description paints a harrowing image of Jesus' agony as he hangs on the cross. She tells us the nails were so big, hard, and rough, and the wounds grew wider, his body sagging under his own weight. Nails, such an ordinary, domestic, everyday object, an ordinary passion icon, made by hand, forged from wrought iron bars and hammered into shape. And it's interesting that medieval nails actually were very much in form and in method of making, were very much the same as Roman nails. So when Julian saw the nails in the buildings around her, in the roofs, in furniture, they were the same nails that hammered Christ to the cross. Her vision of the nails causes her great sorrow and fear, she says. As she watches, she notices the crown of thorns pressing into his head, causing so much bleeding that the crown was dyed with his blood. What a distressing image of Jesus' body hanging there for a long time. The piercing and twisting of the head and the binding of the crown of thorns, all baked with dry blood. She realizes in a flash of insight that she loved Christ so much more than herself. There was no pain that could be suffered like that sorrow, she adds, to see him in pain. Something I think we can all relate to as we watch our loved ones in pain. She cannot look away, though. She continues to fix her gaze on the cross and realizes incredibly that she is safe, because she says, apart from the cross, there was no safety against the horror of the fiends. As she continues to reflect, she comprehends that there is a great affinity between Jesus and us. When he is in pain, we are in pain, she says. She also perceives that we can take comfort and hope in that suffering and sorrow, because when we choose Jesus in both happiness and sorrow, we can take comfort. So Julian finds hope in this most distressing vision of Christ hanging on the cross, slowly dying through the weight of his own body. The challenge to us tonight is, will we fix our gaze on Jesus, like with Julian, focus on him and choose him in both our joy and our sorrow? It's difficult, isn't it? It's not an easy path. It's almost an act of will to keep watching. But it's a comfort and a source of hope, because through his grace, she says, in all this time of suffering and sorrow, Julian's words speak to us tonight, I think, and remind us that, in her words, Jesus suffered for us and sorrowed for us. And now he is risen again and no longer liable to suffering. He still suffers with us. Ponder that this evening and during the week as we continue to watch and pray as events unfold in the Ukraine. Jesus is suffering with us. He sees us and hears us.